Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here today.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yay. Ready to start this new year off, this 2022. So for a couple of things, first of all, we have prayer meeting, and it is on Wednesday nights. I encourage you to come. It's a privilege to get to pray for people, so I encourage you to come and pray with us. And then we have chosen the food pantry, and that is on Wednesdays. It's Gleaners, and it's right after Gleaners. If you have know somebody that might need extra help, be sure and encourage them to come, and they will help them, and also Sunday after church. And then we're going to start the Chosen again. So next Sunday, is that right? Next Sunday, we're going to have our simple potluck. Just don't make it too hard. Just something easy to share with everybody. And it's always fun to get together for potluck. And then we'll watch the Chosen part two. What's it? Season two. Oh, Philip.
I love him.
Okay. All right. So that's next Sunday. I encourage you to come and share with us. It's fun. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to have you here. We are so thankful to be able to come and just sing praises to you. We're so thankful that you have put something special on Pastor Teresa's heart to share with us, and we just open our hearts to what you want us to hear, how we can grow closer to you. Father God, just be with us in this hour, Lord, and we just want to share our joy with you, Lord. As we start this new year, we want to just grow closer to you each and every day. We just give you praises in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to go to our call to worship, if you want to stand. And it's Philippians 4:4-5. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. What a great thing to rest on, huh? So we're going to start with Christians. Oh, praise the Lord. I got the wrong.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Your health and salvation. Come all who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord above all things, so wondrously reigning. Sheltering under his wings and so gently sustaining. Have you not seen all that is needful has been set by his gracious ordaining? Praise to the Lord who will prosper your work and defend you. Surely his goodness and mercy shall daily you. Ponder anew
Be filled with dancing. May our streets be filled with joy. May injustice bow to Jesus as the people turn to pray. From the mountains to may your glory
hear our singing. Fill the air, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Good morning, church. Let us take our Sunday morning tithes and offerings together. Father God, thank you for the many blessings you have given us financially, shelter, friends, food, this house to worship in and from your Son, your salvation. And from these many treasures, we give back just a portion that you've asked us to out of obedience. Amen. And now it's my privilege to do a better job leading prayer this week than last week. On Zoom, I forgot to take prayer requests even. I was so frazzled, sorry. But looking at the live stream, there's a few to share. Vicki Nichols is there. She is listening in spirit because her ears are not working again this morning. So prayer for her. She's trying to hear, but she's here watching with us. So Vicki, maybe I can go like this. Vicki, we love you. And maybe she could get my lips, I hope. Maria Mixer says her joy is great. She's sharing a praise. My joy is great. I would like to continue to lift up. Debbie puts up there, continue mighty prayers for Paul and Carol Baker, who are not able to be with us here in person today. So prayers for Paul and Carol. And then Debbie also says, thank you, Jeremy, for being a sure-footed helper on the sidewalk this morning, getting into church. I praise God for Jeremy just meeting you at the car and saying, good morning. Yours was Donna? Awesome. Praise God for Donna. I say that for many years of praise God for Donna. Some of you will get that. Are there any other prayer requests, needs, or praises from anyone here? Or if you're watching virtually online, you can jump in too. I got the scroll going here. Judy. So this was your late husband's cousin having Mary with a ton of blood clots all over. They think one was a heart attack and they're doing angioplasty. So hopefully. Somebody has a talking phone and they're sharing prayer requests. I can't think of a better reason to have a cell phone than sharing prayer requests, other than praying for the requests that come in. I find myself every night about 10 o'clock going back through the GroupMe chat, seeing what's going on with the congregation for the day, and the kids are in bed, and I'm like, okay, Lord, you can have my attention. He can have my attention anytime he wants, by the way. He'll get it. So prayer for your late husband's cousin with some blood clots. Anyone else? Yep. Yeah, 2 weeks ago we prayed for my godmother who was making a transition and she ended up coming down with pneumonia and not recovering. But this, I will say, as I lift up my mom's heart toward her sister-in-law, which she loved dearly and was my godmother. I know for certain her eternal destiny because I've had several text messages with her back and forth about it, and I know she's with God in heaven right now. I have no doubt. And that's a praise. And that's a praise. For I am certain. Continued prayer for Dan and Marie Hundley, who aren't with us here today. I know Dan had some other, was it he or Marie that had some other health complications? He was in the hospital, that's what it was. I remember seeing that on the group meet. With kidney issues. Okay. So prayer for Dan Hundley to find the energy to fight. Sometimes that's hard. Anyone else? Jeremy, did I see your hand up? Yeah. for the fires in Colorado? Wow. Okay. Okay, I'm ignorant. I missed that on the news. Wow. Oh my. Yeah, because I know you have lots of relatives in Colorado. Wow. All right, so prayer for all of the people in Colorado affected by the huge, ginormous blaze that happened. Took out a large swath of houses. A large swath of community. Yeah. I'd like to lift up my wife, Sarah. She's not here this morning because her stomach has been hurting all week long. And she can't seem to figure out what's going on with it. And I would like prayer for her to feel motivated to see somebody to try to fix it. I love her dearly. And she, like me, has different stubborn streaks. So prayer for her. I'm not perfect. Okay, all right. So prayer for Hunter, a 24-year-old man with a need for a heart transplant. Oh, liver transplant. I'm sorry. You said liver. I got it wrong. I'll admit it. A liver transplant, and he's having a test on his cardiovascular system to make sure it can withstand the transplant process. So prayer for Hunter. Double check the stream. Any other praises or prayer requests? I'd like to pray for, ask you guys to pray for all of us teachers going back to work tomorrow. Students coming as well. That they can handle us teachers. And we can handle them. Prayer for a safe return to the classroom for all and a return to learning. And a return to normalcy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Prayer for safe travels for everyone to get there. Let's see, Sherry's not here. I know Sherry has some ongoing health issues, if I remember right. She had a respiratory thing, I think, if it was right on the group meeting. So let's lift up Sherry Bagdonis, and of course, Mark with her as well. Anyone else? Let's think of anything else from the group meeting this last week. Prayer for Levina Schmidt. I know she has a lot of family members that are dealing with illnesses right now and health issues. Kind of a matriarch on Schmidt Hill Road out there. Bill. Angie, your cousin directly, right? If I remember right. Second cousin.
Her mother's
the
second cousin.
Okay. The Aubuchon clan. Okay. Yeah. So, Bill and Fred are requesting prayer for family back on the East Coast that has lost, where they've lost a cousin, a distant cousin, but it's still family, a first cousin. Okay. So a first cousin that has died because of COVID, and prayer for a cousin, Angie, who is fighting back from COVID, and Bill wants a prayer for a coworker that could be COVID related with his illness. So. And for Stan Marble, who's starting radiation. Yeah. starting radiation tomorrow. Ted, we're lifting you up still, brother. Slow return. We love you back there. We're so glad to see you today. I love that thumbs up. Hang loose. Got it all back there. Anyone else?
Every day for a couple of weeks.
So Paul is starting radiation. Has already started and is doing a couple weeks of
every
radiation.
Day.
Every day. Ooh, Lord, give him strength. Okay, so now we have a little more update on Paul Baker. Radiation every day for a couple weeks, and he's in the middle of it now.
Which means travel every day. So if anybody would like to help them with gas money, I have a quick and easy way to send that to them if you're interested.
Okay, if anybody wants to help Paul and Carol with gas money, talk to Debbie, and she's got a way to make that happen. That's a lot of traveling for them. They're not used to that much traveling, I'm certain. All right. Anybody else? It's a small thing, but you know how it is in budgets. We had to cancel our trip, but the company that we booked with is allowing us to rebook later instead of losing our money. So that's a praise. That's a praise. So, yeah. And probably a praise that we weren't on the roads and weren't in harm's way as the snowpocalypse came. Lori and Jim Cooper, as they're struggling through things. Also, praise that we're all just safe, because many of our members were without power for extended period of times. And I remember watching Facebook and seeing posts and just saying, praise the Lord, when people said they had power, and then they didn't have power again, and then they had power again. And praise God that he's the ultimate power. All right, let us go together as a family. Father God, thank you for your many blessings. Houses, jobs, cars, family, church, doctors, teachers, friends, spouses, children. We could go on and on. But most importantly, about you coming as a baby to live as a human, to die a once and for all sacrifice that covered our sins, that we may ask you to come into our heart, Holy Spirit, clean house, and make us worthy of heaven. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Thank you for the perspective that gives on all the other things that we bring before you. Health needs for members of our body that have been mentioned, for Sherry, for Jim and Lori, for Ted, for family members, for Bill and Fred, for my wife, for Carolyn's sister-in-law that has passed away, and all that that family must have to deal with. I know there's a lot. Lord, we lift up Vicky so that she can hear again, hear forever again. Lord, whatever is going on with her ears, let this ENT on the 14th find the solution and restore her hearing. Lord, we continue to lift up Ted on his long journey back to health. Let him take a step every day, and Lord, guide it. And give Debbie the strength to continue to come alongside him through all of that. And Lord, keep their power on so that it's easier to do. Lord, keep the power on, and thank you for PGE for restoring it. Lord, keep us all warm and safe as we weather out the rest of this storm. And Lord, we thank you that you are the God who calms the seas all around us, even when we forget to ask, because you love us so much. Lord, we lift up Paul and Carol with all their driving back and forth. And Lord, we just ask that you meet their needs to get back and forth from radiation somehow. Lord, now we lift up our local, county, state, and federal leaders to you. Every day in the news, we see the problems that are facing us as a nation. And Lord, we ask that you give wisdom and clear, right-headed thinking to all of our leaders to restore this nation back to its great position for you. Lord, restore us back to a shiny city on a hill. Lord, we ask that revival break out in the land. Revive in the hearts of our citizens and leaders a thirst for your Holy Spirit that can only be quenched by you. That each one individually would search it out, find it, and lead well. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos, come on up. Let's pray for you for Children's Church. Come on, Landon boy. It's okay. Come on, Bubba. Okay, we will. Are you guys ready to pray for Children's Church today? Father God, thank you so much for the children you have given us. They are a blessing and they are a promise for a future and a hope that you came to persevere. Father, Lord, we ask that you find a permanent resident in the heart, a permanent residency in the heart of each one of these children, and that your Holy Spirit find a way to knock and knock and knock until they can and ready and willing to listen every time. Amen.
Amen. Good morning and Happy New Year. Thank you, Pastor Ivan, for praying for the kids and for praying for our body. All right, I have a few questions to get us started. Yeah, some things to think about. And Sister Debbie's putting them on display for us. Food for thought. If you click the present slide, it'll get bigger for us. Oh, it's big for those guys. Yeah, awesome. So, food for thought. I want you to take a few moments to answer the questions to yourself. And then you can turn around and share with your pew mate, okay? So think about a time that you lost something. This is a cute commercial out now. It's husband and wife at home. Wife is sitting down on the couch watching TV, and her husband is frantically searching for his glasses, his reading glasses. They're up here on the top of his head, but he doesn't know that. And he goes, "Have you seen my glasses?" And she just kind of smiles at him. "I'm sure they're around here somewhere, dear." So share a time you lost something. Describe your process for searching for it, okay? So I want you to be thinking, well, okay, when I lost that, what did I do? Because you're going to share that with your pew mate. Did you find it? Did you ever find it? And how long did it take? And how did you feel when you lost it? Sometimes if it's really precious to us, it's like, how did I lose that? You know, you might panic. And then if you found it, how did it feel when you found it? Okay. All right. Got something in your mind? And it's okay if it's your reading glasses. It's totally okay. Or your car keys, because, you know, cell phones, all those things we misplace constantly. All right, go. All right, I hope that was a good exercise. I want you to keep thinking about that. And if it was something less significant, like reading glasses, I overheard someone saying, they have lots of pairs of those. You still keep looking for them though, because it's like, really? Right? So it might be something less significant, like reading glasses, but maybe it's more significant. Remember this process of searching for it. What did it feel like to lose it? What did it feel like to find it if you were able to? So this week, last week actually, the sermon was titled, Where's Jesus? And we examined the passage where Mary and Joseph lose Jesus at Passover and wonder where he is, right? Where in the world is Jesus? In today's passage, we find a different set of people wondering where the Messiah is. And so this week's sermon is simply, Where's Jesus? Part two. Okay? We are on the way to Jesus. So this Thursday, January 6th, the Church Universal commemorates Epiphany. And it's funny because Brother Bill was talking about the light and the light being in our eyes. And now he's like, yeah, that's the Epiphany. It's part of the Epiphany story. So that's what we're going to talk about today, because today's Epiphany Sunday, even though Epiphany Day is not until the 6th later this week, we stop as a church worldwide to think about what the Epiphany means. And so January 6th commemorates the first manifestation of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. That's where Jesus was born, and we know that Jesus isn't just for the Jews. It's actually for the Gentiles as well. And that's where we get to the story of the Magi. When they come, they're looking for that infant Messiah. They know that he's been born. They don't know where he is. So not only is it the manifestation of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, but Epiphany also refers to the manifestation of Jesus, his divinity. He actually is God and man. We see God's hand on him when he's baptized, right? When the Holy Spirit speaks. And we see God with him when he performs his first miracle that's recorded in the scriptures for us at the wedding in Cana, right? So those are the things that the Church Universal is thinking about when we say Epiphany, the manifestation of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. So let's turn to the Word of God, and we'll be focusing on Matthew 2. Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to be sharing from the New Living Translation, but of course, whichever is your favorite translation, follow along. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote." And the scriptures that they were quoting is this: "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." So then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so I can go and worship him too." We all know where this is going. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Verse 12 says, "When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route." Why? Because God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Interesting story. Is these are people who don't believe in God, yet they're seeking the Messiah. And then they get a message from God. "Don't trust that king. Go back this way." Fascinating. And they're not even believers. So many of us are familiar with the Christmas carol, "We Three Kings." I remember singing it in our little Christmas plays that we did when I was in church and at school. Or maybe, if you're a history buff, you might actually know it by the other title, "The Quest of the Magi." The song was penned in 1857. By a man named John Henry Hopkins Jr. He wrote it for a Christmas pageant, which is why, you know, I grew up as a child singing the song in our Christmas plays. You may not have noticed that the song is designed for three men to sing a verse, each representing the gift giver. Traditionally, that's how it was intended. But we as believers must, please, brothers and sisters in Christ, distinguish between myth and tradition and facts. Okay, Sister Linda, there's a lot of tradition, there's a lot of myth all twined together. That doesn't mean it's the facts, that it's actually true. So those of us who are mature in Christ, we need to grow up and know and be able to distinguish between those things. So fact is, Scripture does not tell us how many wise men came to visit Jesus. Tradition has taught us to focus on the three types of gifts presented, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, right? But that doesn't mean that there were only three people who came and visited the child. We have over time, again, this is us, you know, making up things and getting caught up with the story, because we all like to tell stories. It's a part of every culture. Doesn't matter where you are on the planet. Everybody loves stories. So over time, we assign names to those mythical three men, Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar. You probably heard those names. These names aren't real because, again, there weren't just necessarily only three men, and those are fictitious names, and they're not in Scripture. So just FYI. It wasn't literally three men, and we don't know their names if it was only three. They're not mentioned now. Another myth portrayed in lots of paintings and artwork, I remember this, coloring pages as a child, depicting the birth night, is the wise men are present with the newborn. We talked a little bit about this last week. The parents and the shepherds, but according to Scripture, the shepherds visited the newborn Jesus the night of his arrival. The wise men actually came later when Jesus was a toddler. I know when you read it really fast and you already have the story played out in your head, it seems like it all happened one night. But if you slow down and read the text, you'll go, oh, it doesn't really say that all happened in the same night. Okay, just FYI. So the shepherds actually were there that night. But the wise men come later, when Jesus is actually a toddler. So we see it in verse 11. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So there were no other guests noted, and not even Joseph was present. It's very fascinating. They just happen to see Jesus and his mom. They don't mention, like, the good question would be, well, where was Joseph? Or the rest of the family? Because they did have kids after Jesus. But, yeah, who knows? They weren't in the guest room of the place. Remember, they're not by the animals out in the farm situation. They're actually in a house. Again, the cows weren't leaning over Jesus when he was an infant in the manger. But he's probably age 2, maybe 3 at this time. So he's probably able to walk. And this helps us understand why in verse 16, Herod ordered male children up to the age of 2 to be killed. Because remember, he asked them, so when did this star first appear? And the wise men begin to share the story. Oh, well, we saw this a couple years ago and blah, 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 blah. We've been following it. Oh. So in order to, Herod's plot, in order to get rid of who he thinks is going to grow up and take his spot, you're not doing that to me. You're not going to supplant my power. Who is this kid? I'll solve my problem, Ivan. I'll solve it. I'll just kill all the children, 2 and under. So that's what Herod did. So clearly, it's not a 3-day-old or 8-day-old baby Jesus. It's a toddler. And that's just fascinating. So that verse 16 indicates quite some time had passed since Jesus' birth, and the time the wise men actually find him. And so now that we've debunked a few myths about the wise men, let's talk about who they really were and what we can learn from them. Matthew uses the phrase wise men, which is also rendered magi, which isn't useful in defining the wise men. Like, what does magi mean? The message refers to them as a band of scholars, which actually I think is an accurate description. Magi, way back then, they were astronomers. Some were astrologists who not only studied celestial bodies for science, but they observed their orbit and drew conclusions about life based on the position. They would advise dignitaries, noblemen, and even royalty. And the first astronomers and astrologists have been recorded as early as Babylon. And that's over 2,500 years before Jesus is even born. So, you know, the science is not new. It's been here since the beginning. And people have always studied the stars, the solar system, and those bodies that are out there in our sky. And because they were well-trained and excellent at their job, they were deemed as kings. They were nobility, very influential in helping to select who the next royals would be. In fact, it had been foretold that a strong power would rise from the east and all would know of the ruling king. And that's what got Herod nervous when the astrologists from the east came searching for the new king. He was like, wait. This isn't going to end well for me. So he thought they might use their political influence and plot to oust him. Because you can be king in your childhood. It's happened. We've seen it before throughout history in different nations. He could, as an adult, be supplanted by a child to become king. So it made him nervous. But we know, because we've got the story, right? We know that that wasn't the wise men's intent. They had no intention of trying to do that. At least there's no indication in Scripture that that was their intention. What we do see in Scripture is a group of scholars who study the stars that see a peculiar celestial body. So they research its meaning. And I love astronomy. When I was a kid, I actually thought, Ivan, I was going to grow up and be two things. I was going to be an architect, and I was going to be an astronomer. But those two kind of don't go together. But then one of my coworkers said, actually, you could do both. You know, you could be working for NASA. You could be, you know, designing one of the stations. I'm like, oh, true that. What am I doing here? I should have been an astronomer and architect. Okay, sorry. I digress. So they were looking at those celestial bodies, trying to figure out, what is this? Because that particular star was so different from the others that they've been seeing before. So they research its meaning. And their research led them to the Hebrew teachings of a Messiah that would come and save his people. Again, these are not Jewish people. And they used science to find the Messiah. Fascinating. That long ago. And that's why they announced to Herod their quest to locate the king of the Jews. Now, you might be wondering, why would non-Jews be interested in the Messiah? You have to go back in history and retrace the steps of the Jews. They were once ruled by the Babylonians. Thus, they were split up and scattered, taken from their homeland. And while they were exiled in Babylon, some of the people of Israel found favor and were given leadership roles. And you could think of one, if you go back in the stories in the Old Testament, Daniel was one of them. Daniel is described as a man of faith. he was able to rise in the ranks, and he was given the gift of interpreting dreams. Remember his story? In fact, when other royal advisors couldn't explain dreams to the king would call for Daniel. No doubt, Daniel shared his faith and explained the prophecy of the Messiah. Anyone who worked with Daniel knew about the God he served because he was an upstanding Jewish man. He was a man of faith. So if you came in contact with him, you're going to know what he was all about, what he stood for. And so no doubt Daniel shared his faith and explained the prophecy of the Messiah. So anyone who worked with him knew about the God he served. So we can actually believe folks like Daniel, exiled Israelites, were sharing their faith and influencing their country, their new surroundings, their new culture, where they were held as captives. They were able to teach about their religion and their worldview and influence their neighbors. I ponder at that because I think, I wonder if God wants us to be doing the same thing. It doesn't matter where we are, Ivan. If you are in a school, or if you're in a private company working for someone, if you are at a store, you're a clerk, the post office, the light company, whatever it is, you can be letting other people know about your faith. You can be an influencer for God's glory. Daniel did it, even though he was torn from his own home, exiled. He found favor with those around him. So now, let's go back to the wise men. There are two lessons, I think, that can be learned by the wise men. The first one is this. Seek the Messiah. Ask yourself, where's Jesus in my life? The wise men were scientists. They were astrologists who studied the celestial bodies in addition to the Hebrew scriptures. They were steadfast in their search. That means they didn't give up easily. I know sometimes it's hard, we get tired, and sometimes we get tired too quickly, I think, Brother Fred, and we should not give up so quickly. We have to be like the wise men and keep searching. Keep at it, because look what they did. In order to see planets, this is what I've learned. And I'm not an astronomist, but these are the things I've learned. It has to be, in order to be able to see certain planets, certain stars and the constellations, even the moon, you have to look at certain times of the day. And in some cases, certain times of the year, right? You can't always see them because it depends on the time of year. So I don't want to get into science of it all, but the Earth is on an axis. We're tilted. And as we rotate around the sun, it changes the constellations that we're going to see. So that's why you can't just see everything all the time. Just like the comets. It's just so fascinating, all of that. Only comes once in a while. And if you miss it in your lifetime, you're not going to see it. It's that next generation behind you that will see it. Just absolutely fascinating. So it takes time, is what I'm telling you. Why am I giving you all that science data? Because it takes time. You have to be patient with the process, but you also have to stick with it. Because that's what the wise man did. They asked, where is this Messiah? And we're going to follow this and research it. Look at the scriptures, look at the scientific data. What does it mean? So this is why it took them a while to find Jesus. The star they tracked could only be seen at certain times. And we too must be steadfast in our search for Jesus. We can't afford to give up when it's hard to hear his voice. It's our job to lean in, silence our cell phones, put down our electronic devices, step away from the TV. Step away from the TV. And sometimes, Brother Bill, you got to step away from your bestest friends, because they're going to blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. Okay. Sometimes you're like, you just smile at them. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Walk away and go pray on it. Go search the scriptures and go pray. Because they mean well, but they don't have the answer all the time. Step away. Lean in to hear the voice of Jesus. We must seek him when we're worried, when we're disappointed, when we're rejoicing, we're happy for God's goodness. Seeking him is acknowledging who he is in our life. That's why we do it. So, go back, pause real quick. Go back to the questions. Remember, you shared with your pew mates things that you've lost, maybe one particular thing. And that search, how did you find it? What did you feel like? Did you ever find it? If you found it, what did that feel like? If you never found it, ooh, what did that feel like? How much energy did you put into searching for that particular item, Sister Donna? Did you rejoice when you found it? This is my question to us, not just to you, but to me as well. I hope that we put just as much, if not more, energy into seeking God's face and seeking to know him more and more by finding Jesus in our lives, rather than, oh, let me say this quick prayer because I know God is listening, and then you keep buzzing off to something else. Stop. It's okay to say, spill all your guts, be like your friends, and then this happened. Jesus is there to listen to that. But we also need to pause. What is Jesus trying to say to you, to us? Find Jesus in your life. The second thing I think that we can learn from the wise men is to worship the Messiah. They sought him out first. Where is he? We know he's here. We've seen the star. We've searched the scriptures. And when they find him, they worship him. Once they find Jesus, the wise men presented gifts and they bowed. The scripture says they prostrated themselves. It's a very Middle Eastern thing to do, to prostrate yourself. Get down on your knees and your head goes to the floor. They bowed before a toddler. Can you imagine? Just a two-year-old, bowing before a two-year-old. If God is the God of our lives, then Jesus is the Lord in our hearts, and we should listen to and obey the Spirit. Obedience is a form of worship. I know for many of us, especially if you're like me, you're all in this Christian culture. When you hear the word worship, you automatically think, oh, songs, and we're going to have some music, and that's praise and worship. It's not the whole story of what praise and worship is. We worship with our lives. We worship when we obey the word of God. That is true worship, because if you can sing all of those beautiful songs on key, and I love our praise band, because I'm not the one to be leading the songs, praise Jesus, hallelujah. That's fine and wonderful. But when you leave this building, what is the rest of your week like? What is the rest of your life like? If it's not walking and lining yourself up with the word of God, he doesn't care about your perfect pitch. Doesn't care. Because your life is empty. Bow down and worship him. Be obedient. And just as the wise men presented gifts, so too must we present our gifts to the Messiah. We cannot afford to only preoccupy ourselves with what we want and with what we're going to get. And I know at Christmas time, forgive us, Lord Jesus, as Christians, we have trained our children. What do you want for Christmas? Right? Because about them, and really, no, it's Jesus' birthday. It's not yours. But that's what we do, right? And it's counterproductive to what we really want to be teaching our children and others around us. Because God gave the gift of Jesus Christ to us the day that the Messiah was born. And so the true meaning of Christmas is for us to be giving to God first and to the human beings around us secondly. So stop looking for what's in it for me, Sister Lori. Stop that, because it's not about you. It's about God. He has given each of us gifts, and we need to be giving it away, because that is an act of worship. Obedience, our giving of ourselves, is worship. And incidentally, the gifts that the Magi presented to Jesus represented his kingship, his deity, and even his death. Again, they studied the scriptures. My question to you, what are you doing or giving to acknowledge Jesus' kingship, his deity, and his conquering death? What are you doing? Are you asking yourself, where's Jesus in my life? Are you willing to respond as the wise man? I pray very much that you have Jesus in your life and that you are responding like the wise man. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your holy word. I pray that you would help us to better understand all of those stories that are there are examples for us to learn from. Forgive us when we get tangled up in the traditions and in the stories themselves and we try to superanalyze or overanalyze things. Help us to remember the point of the story, so that we can get an understanding of who you are. Thank you so much for your holy word. I pray right now for those who are watching through social media or maybe listening in, those who are here in the sanctuary this day, that you would help us to be like the wise men, always searching for the Messiah, always acknowledging the presence of the Messiah through your Holy Spirit, always wanting to be obedient, to worship you, to give our lives for you. Help us, dear God, to be light in this world, to be salt, as Jesus said to us, his disciples, way back then. And those words still ring true now. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for sending your baby to be born, but not to stay little and be king then and there, but to come back for all of us and to reign forever and ever. And we thank you for that promise. We pray it even now in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we'll have our closing song and then we'll come for our benediction.
Close with no other name. And we get to sing it a cappella, so sing loud.
No other name but the name of Jesus. No other name but the name of the Lord. No other name but the name glory and worthy of honor and worthy of power and all praise. His name is exalted far above the earth. His name above the heavens. His name is exalted far above the earth. Give glory and honor and praise unto his name. No Jesus, no other name but the name of the Lord. No other name but the name of Jesus. His word and worthy of honor and worthy of power and all praise.
Amen.
Amen. What a beautiful song to end with. No other name but the name of Jesus. Stand with me, those of you who are in our sanctuary, and let us be dismissed. I pray, dear God, for my brothers and sisters in Christ, that again you be with us this very week. Help us to live out the spirit of the wise men. Help us to share our love and our experience with you. Because you are our maker, you are our creator, you are our redeemer, and we thank you for it. Bless us now and until we meet again. Go in peace, my brothers and sisters in Christ. God love you, and peace be with you.